Have you ever noticed the if in the word life? You ever noticed that if in the word life? Maybe it's there because of the if in life itself. The if we need insuring against. The if that we can't sleep for concern about. The if that we battle daily to overcome. The if we just simply cannot put to bed. The if of uncertainty that leads to an anxious and seemingly incurable case of the what ifs. What if my health leaves me? What if money can't buy happiness? What if I don't make the grade? What if we can't get along? What if our worldview fails? What if I change my mind? And the list goes on and on and on, for all may seem quite well, and then the dreaded what ifs start again. You ever notice that? You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? Maybe for some of you this morning, you're there right now. You know, it's been said that if you're going to learn anything, it's best to start from the bottom. Which was very helpful to me until I started to learn to swim. But I hope that it will help us when we think about what ifs, to know that the bottom line in the if of life, of any life, and for all of life, there is the opportunity to cast all your care on God because He cares for us. And we're, throughout this hour, going to try and unpack that a little bit, as simple as it sounds, and undoubtedly as out of step with many other things it might be in our life. Nonetheless, it's the bottom line that we can be certain of in all of life's uncertainty. Cast all your care on God, because He cares for you. I mean, what if God is able to deliver on His promise? What if death and taxes are not the only things certain of in this world? What if living with the certainty of uncertainty is an opportunity we get more than an obstacle we face? What if we did cast all our care on Him? Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a big hit from the reggae scene by Bobby McFerrin that I still hear sung today, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You ever heard that song? "Don't Worry, Be Happy." It carries these telling lines. In every life we'll have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. I think that's true, don't you? So what if you haven't got to double up on trouble? What if you can double down on it and take the if out of life and replace it with a what now? What now, Lord? What now when we trust You with our cares and concerns? We're not here this morning to minimize the problem that true anxiety can be, but we do want to maximize the true measure of the help that's offered to us when we cast our cares on God. What if God is there for all the ifs in life? If nothing else, it has to be a question worth asking, just because it offers an answer worth knowing. And, what are we learning this morning? Well, sometimes I guess it's carved into our bodies by sores that we call ulcers. Sometimes it's etched into our faces by lines that we call wrinkles. Sometimes it's pictured on our lips by the shape we call a frown. Sometimes it's heard in the footsteps pacing backwards and forwards across a floor last thing at night. And sometimes it's simply muffled by the silence of someone lying in their bed and staring at the ceiling without being able to go to sleep. But whatever it looks like to you, or sounds like to you, living with only the certainty of uncertainty can create such a big if in life that we can all end up with the telltale signs of anxiety and worry, as we have seen. I once saw a sign in a busy retail company that said this: if you have no ulcers, you're not carrying your share of the load. I think some of us know what that means, but honestly, does it truly have to come to that? The physical damage, the emotional breakdown, the mental turmoil, the spiritual dryness that being weighed down by uncertainty can and so often does lead us to. Who wants that? Who needs that? What if it hasn't got to be that way? Somebody well said, I think, that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it don't get you anywhere. I think there's a lot of truth in that. And yet, as what we've just heard Caroline read to us, Jesus told his hearers 2,000 years ago, in the greatest sermon that was ever given, that there is in all of us, both then and now, an inclination to always live a life that's too stressed to fully enjoy it. Churchill once said, things may change, but people never do. And worry is one proof of that, because people worried about the same things 2,000 years ago as they worry about today. What we've heard in the reading, what we saw on the streets, combine in the same kind of things for us. That inclination, for instance, to worry about our finances. Ever worry about your finances? It led Jesus to say, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Worry about it. Some of us have learned the hard way that if our outgoings exceed our income, then our upkeep will be our downfall. You ever discovered that? It's not easy. It's not easy. What if the money doesn't last? What if the money doesn't come in? My uncle Norman owned a shop, a bicycle shop in Bartley for many years, and many of his customers brought through his shop what I remember as a young boy being called a lay-away plan. Any of you remember the lay-away plan? You pay by installments. When I think now, knowing what I do about myself and many other people and what Jesus says here, I think for many of them it wasn't a lay-away plan, it was a lay-awake plan. How on earth am I going to pay for what I've just bought? You worry about your finances. Money may not be able to buy us happiness, but chasing after it can certainly rob us of it. Finances. Jesus too then asked the question, is not life more important than food? Do you ever worry about food? It's certainly a cause of anxiety, not just for those worried about where their next meal is going to come from, but from those who eat every meal as though they're never going to eat another meal again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Food. Do you worry about food? Not just whether you've got enough to eat, but what kind of food you're going to eat. And then what about fashion too? Jesus asked another question, because it relates to the worry of how we're going to be clothed and what we're going to wear. Fashion. Is not the body more important than clothes, says Jesus. And some people are more worried about what they're going to wear and what they look like than actually how they're wearing themselves and what they actually are like. I remember some years ago when I was playing badminton with my boy. He was a teenager, and we used to go out on a Friday night and compete with one another in a game of badminton. And, you know, it was a good workout for me. And I noticed that suddenly my son didn't want to play with me anymore. And I thought, you know, he just cannot take a hammering, can he? Because, you know, I was still young enough and fit enough then, you know, to keep on top of him. But what I discovered was that he wasn't prepared to play badminton with me anymore because I didn't have any branded labels on my sports clothes. I had to go out and buy some Adidas shorts and shirt to be able to play badminton with my son. Of course, now he's got his own family, he realizes that actually non-branded goods are not bad and a lot cheaper. But people get taken up with fashion. And if not fashion, fitness. I mean, that too must have been a big thing in Jesus' day, just as it is today. For he asks, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to their life? Is it wrong to look after yourselves and keep your body in good shape? Of course not. If you're trying to kill yourself to do it, it's pretty senseless, isn't it? Staying in shape to use our bodies to worship is one thing. But making staying in shape our act of worship is something entirely different. And if that's your attitude, you're always going to be worried that you don't measure up and you don't stand out and you're not fit enough. And if that's not your concern, many others, of course, are worried about the future. What if he doesn't finish on time? What if it doesn't go as I plan? And yet somebody said, worry is the interest we pay in advance today on the trouble that may never come tomorrow. And how many of you have discovered that you've worried about things that you thought would come and never came, and you've already paid the interest on it with the worry that it caused you and the anxiety that brought you down? Is it any wonder Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day, as Jackie reminded us, has enough trouble of its own. Take them one by one. You bring the regrets of yesterday and the concerns of tomorrow into today. Even the grace of God cannot hold you, because he gives grace sufficient for the day that you're going through. And when you think he's let you down, no. You've let yourself down because you think of today, and let God help you through what you're going through now. One thing at a time. And as I said at the start, I'm not standing up here, and Cornell and Jackie have not been sitting down there, to make light of any concerns and anxieties and difficulties and what ifs that plague our lives. I simply want to acknowledge, as Jesus did, the inclination that we all have to pull tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. And when you do it, it spoils the view. I mean, is not worry the pastime of so many of us? We're so used to worrying, we worry when we're not worried. You ever worried about that? I've got nothing to worry about. That's what I'm worried for. What a sad place to be in. I was thinking of that young male medical student who was asked by a female nurse in the maternity ward that he'd just been posted to why he was so enthusiastic and excited about being in obstetrics. Well, he replied, when I first came to this hospital, they put me in casualty and I was worried that I was going to have a heart attack. And then they moved me to surgery and I was worried that I was going to have an ulcer. And then they moved me to psychiatry and I thought I was going to go crazy. But now here in the maternity ward, as a young man, I feel I can finally relax. Doesn't Jesus speak to our inclination to worry? Jesus knows that it does us no good whatsoever. And the Bible confirms it elsewhere by telling us an anxious heart weighs a person down. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties today of its strength. So if you're being tormented at the moment by the what ifs, what if the money doesn't come through? What if I get hurt or I lose my job? What if I'm lonely all my life? What if I don't fit in? What if I can't cope? What if my worst fears actually do come true? That's the inclination of us all, but thank God Jesus doesn't stop there. He brings us to the invitation of it all. One of his friends, Peter, put it this way, and we've already seen it. Cast all your care on God who cares for you. Jesus stated it this way in the passage that Caroline's just read to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about, all the what ifs that plague you, all the anxieties that you drown in, all the things that God knows you need, and promises to look after will be given to you. You tell me, did worrying ever solve a problem? Did worrying ever dry a tear? Did worrying ever lift a burden? Did worrying ever remove an obstacle? Did worrying ever make bad things good or good things better? No. But Jesus invites us to seek him and his kingdom so he can give us as a gift what we could never discover or earn for ourselves. And the illustration, so simple, Caroline read it to us. Jesus gave it all those years ago to help us understand the attractiveness of the invitation, is the one that he gives of flowers and the birds. Because birds and flowers don't worry. They don't what if their way through life. They get on and live as God made them to live and enjoy life. The flowers to display his beauty. The birds to enjoy his bounty. And the lesson is so simple, says Jesus, that if God takes care of the birds in the air and God looks after the flowers in the field, now tell me, do you honestly think he's going to forget you? Do you? He gives you the invitation to come because he hasn't forgotten you. And he gives you the invitation to come because he's got everything for you. Ralph Waldo Emerson, that famous poet, once said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen." Cornell made the point. He don't understand why. Many of the situations will never understand why. But it's not understanding why that takes away the worry from our lives. It's understanding God who promises to walk through it with us and give us his peace in a way that we may not be able to explain it, but we can certainly experience it. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think surely it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Folks, do you know any farmer who would feed his cattle and his chicken, but not his children? Do you know any designer that would dress their property, but neglect to clothe their family? We have a God who, in the picture of the flower and the birds, reminds us that if he feeds and clothes them, he's never, ever going to neglect the need of your life and my life. He illustrates it because the invitation to worry is not simply a request. It's an urgent appeal. It is a plea. Jesus says, seek. Peter says, cast. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's that urgency at the end of a football match when a team is a goal down and the coach is there in his coaching area urging his team, go forward, go forward. You know? You watch Gareth Southgate next time England are playing. You know, it's an appeal. We've got nothing to lose. We've got everything to gain. And there's an urgency to it because time's about to run out. Seek it. Cast it. Because I invite you to do it. What if you can trust me? And I can put those what ifs to bed. I mean, just look at the cross. The nails used to fix Christ to the cross remind us that in the cross we find freedom from the things that hold us. Not just sins of the flesh. We often get taken up with those. But things like worry, sins of the spirit that says to God, I may believe in you, but I'm not prepared to believe on you. It's a mild form of atheism, isn't it? That we're telling God we won't come, we won't seek, we won't cast because we don't believe what he says. George Muller, one of the greatest men of God who ever lived, told us that the beginning of worry is the end of faith, but the beginning of faith is the end of worry. Will you seek him this morning? In all your worries, we don't minimize them. That's not what we're here for. We're simply here to maximise the Christ, who's the answer to them. But it's not just a plea, is it? There's also the priority here. See what Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God. Many of us seek it last, if we seek it at all. But if we're going to win the war over worry, we've got to come to God first. Jesus does not just want a place in our life. He doesn't even want a prominent place in our life. Jesus wants to be preeminent in our lives so he can go to work and disperse the what-ifs that hold us back and limit the life that he's blessed us with. Seek first. Those first moments in every morning, those first day worship, the beginning of the week, the first fruits of our own fruits. Either those priorities rule us, or we make the priority the Lord, who in his rule over us brings an end to the worry and the troubles that we have. Do we have him as a priority in our own lives this morning? I hope that we do, and I pray that we do, because it's a necessary thing that we put the Lord first. Because out of the plea and out of the priority, we get the lovely promise. The promise in this invitation: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things that the Lord knows that you're going to need, the things that worry us, the finances, the fashion, the fitness, the food, the future, all these things will be given to you as well. It's like Jesus is saying, if you put me first, I'll take care of everything else. And the what ifs can go, and the what nows can arrive, and you can start to live life as I made it and saved you for it. He doesn't promise to meet our greeds. He promises to meet our needs. We don't pray for our daily cream cake. We pray for our daily bread. But when we put him first as our priority, we're invited to receive the promise of him meeting our every need. Have you experienced that? Are you somebody that still lives in the certainty of uncertainty? Or in your uncertainty, have you come to the place where you can be certain of the Lord to take you through it? Even when you don't know why it's happening or exactly what's happening, you can know that he is in control of it, because he is in control of you. What if you bow the knee to Jesus? What if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? What if you can live as God intended you to? Not tied or moored to all those worries and concerns, but set free to sail the ocean in the freedom of the life that Jesus died and rose again to bless you with and encourage you with and empower you for. You ever been down to Southampton Dock when one of those cruise ships was taking off? Anybody? So we often hear them before we see them. I've never been on a cruise in my life, but just a few weeks back, Kathy and I were down there with the grandchildren watching one of these big cruise ships go off. And to see the ropes let go and to see the ship move away from what it was moored to was a reminder to me that if I seek first God's kingdom, if I accept his invitation for my life through faith in what he's done to bless me and save me, then I can let go of all the things that have held me back, the what-ifs that plague me, the uncertainties that spoil me, and I can sail the ocean in the celebration of the fireworks and the ticker tape parade that you get when every cruise ship goes. Wouldn't that be great this morning? I haven't got any fireworks. I haven't got any ticker tape. But I hope this morning, and I pray that if you've come with your what-ifs and you leave them with Jesus, as you go through those doors this morning, can you hear it in your mind? Fireworks going off. Can you feel it on yourself? Ticker tape coming down. Because you're now going to live to celebrate what is possible. When you leave the what ifs, you trust Jesus and he says, what now? This is what we're going to do together. Life is uncertain. Jesus made it clear that it would be uncertain. And he said, in this world you will have trouble. But here's the promise and the assurance of the invitation. Doesn't matter what the trouble is. Doesn't matter what the what if is. Doesn't matter what the test is. I have overcome the world. And when the overcomer lives in you, folks, there's nothing. No need you've got, no situation you're in, no trouble that plagues you, no worry, no anxiety. There's nothing at all that you cannot overcome in the overcomer's power. Amen. Just bow your heads in a moment of quiet. And as you think of that what if in your own life, and the if that there is in life, let the Lord release you this morning. Believe him for what he came and died and rose again for to give you. Not an easy passage through life, but his presence with you through life, even through the storms. Come to the well. Let Jesus satisfy your thirst. Let Jesus meet your hunger. Let Jesus save your soul. Not about being religious, simply being right with God. It's not about coming to church, it's about being the church. It's not something that anyone else can do for you, it's something that, like worry itself, you only do for yourself. Put your faith and trust in him, who's never let anyone down and never gone back on his word. Lord, we pray that in the trials and difficulties of our lives, you will meet us as we seek first your best for us and receive the promise from you that those needs will be met. But Lord, we recognize too that you who meet our needs need us to help meet the needs of others. And there are many people who doubt that you're there and able to meet their need because your people, in seeing the need, walk past it. So help us, Lord, not only to receive what we need, but having received, to make sure that we pass it on, that others can be blessed too with the needs that you want to meet in their lives. Guide us and guard us and keep us to this end, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.